That open on page 985, and you should have a handout headed Forgiving Others. If you don't, there are some at the back. Do grab one. No one will look if you head back to get one, and that'll just take you through where we're going. If you like making notes, you can make notes. If you don't, then just use it to help you follow and take it away to reflect on what we've thought about. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that all Scripture is your word, God's word for us. We pray that you would give us ears to hear, humble us, and help us to obey you, we pray. Amen. Forgiving others. It's a massive issue, isn't it? I've found over the years, talking to people, what a massive issue it is. People who feel they've been abandoned by a husband or wife, or who've trusted someone and felt that trust was betrayed in some way. Trying to forgive someone at school or at work or in our family who hurt us. Perhaps day to day, facing the struggle of forgiving a spouse or a family member or a work colleague who does the same thing over and over again, and it really gets to us. Maybe we see something in the news. Every now and again you hear, don't you, of someone who says that they forgive someone who did something terrible. And perhaps we think, how could they do that? And for us as a church family, thinking this year about sending disciples to bless the Annaby communities, what a massive issue willingness to forgive is. Too often Christians are seen as self-righteous, holier than thou, unforgiving of others. So forgiving others, it's a big issue in our lives, it's a big issue for us as a church, and Jesus addresses this issue today. In chapter 18, he's been talking about how God's people are to relate to each other in a variety of different ways. And if you've missed any of the talks on chapter 18, do encourage you to catch up with them on the website. Really valuable teaching on how God's people are to relate to each other. And today he says the Christian will be willing to forgive, and he shows us why. We're going to begin by looking at the story Jesus tells, and then we'll apply that in a number of ways. So the story, what I've called a bigger debt forgiven. Verse 21. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" He's been listening to Jesus talking about restoring the sinning brother or sister, and it raises a question in his mind: how many times should I forgive someone who's sinned against me? I wonder if you've ever asked that question. Surely I don't have to forgive them again. And when he suggests the number seven, Peter thinks he's being generous. The rabbis of the time taught that three times was the maximum. But Jesus says, verse 22, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And he doesn't mean literally 77. What he's saying is an unlimited number of times. By the time you get to 76, you've lost count, haven't you? Or if you haven't, you certainly haven't got the attitude that Jesus is talking about here. Keep on forgiving over and over. And he tells the story of a king and two of his servants, although the first servant is the center of attention. And it's fairly clear the king represents God, and the two servants represent two of Jesus' followers. Verse 23. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He decides it's time to call in the debts he's owed. And if you've ever received a letter from a solicitor saying it's time to pay or action will be taken, you'll know how terrifying that can be. And so the first servant is brought in, verse 24. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought in. And apparently 10,000 was the highest Greek numeral, and a talent was the highest unit of currency. So Jesus is saying he owed the biggest amount imaginable. If we want to put a figure on it, somebody's worked out that it's in the region of £1 billion. Not much for the Chancellor of the Exchequer as he works out Brexit options, but quite a lot for you and me. And the servant had no chance of paying, so verse 25 Since he wasn't able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Well, the servant's desperate. He sees his life flashing before his eyes, the misery that awaits. And so, verse 26, he fell on his knees before the man. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything. Give me more time." Not that time would really help, but it would be something. It would at least allow him to enjoy freedom for a bit longer. But then something totally unexpected. Verse 27. The servant's master took pity on him, literally had compassion towards him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. Wow. Can you imagine, if you were the servant, the feeling walking out of that room? The enormity of the debt cancelled like that. But it appears this servant doesn't appreciate what's just happened, because, verse 28, when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe." 100 denarii or silver coins was 100 days' wages for a common laborer. So it wasn't a tiny amount. It was worth trying to recover in normal circumstances, but it was tiny compared to what he'd owed. Someone worked out that it was about 1/600,000th of the amount. And yet, when his fellow servant begs him for mercy, in the same way that he had, he doesn't listen. Verse 30. Instead, he refused. He went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. Well, the king hears what's happened, and how does he respond? Verse 32. "You wicked servant, I cancelled that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you?" And in anger, he handed the servant over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "You had your massive debt cancelled. I showed you pity, compassion. That should have led you to show compassion to the other servant who owed you much less, but it didn't. You're the same works-focused, slave-driving servant you were before. You haven't changed. So your debt isn't cancelled after all." And then the punchline, verse 35. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." And that can seem harsh, can't it? But remember, these are the words of Jesus himself. And if I have a problem with Jesus' words, or the words of the Bible generally, the problem isn't with the Bible, the problem is with me. So let's think about those things in a bit more detail as we apply this to ourselves. Now, many of us have been hurt by others in big ways. I'm aware of that. We've all had to forgive something. But Jesus is saying that when we're thinking about what someone has done to us, how someone has hurt us, when we're thinking about whether we can forgive them, we need first of all to see how much we have been forgiven. We need to grasp how much we've been forgiven. The servant was owed 100 days' wages, but he owed a far larger amount, £1 billion. And Jesus says, in the same way, whatever someone has done to you, and it may be terrible, the debt you owe God is far greater. The Bible often uses the language of debt to talk about sin and how it's dealt with. So sin is our rejecting and ignoring God and his good ways, living for ourselves instead. And Jesus says, your sin, my sin, has built up a £1 billion debt with God that we cannot possibly repay. We are the servant, in verse 26, falling on our knees, begging for mercy. I wonder, do you ever stop to think about how big your debt with God was? A debt which, if we're trusting in Jesus, has been fully forgiven. A few years ago, I wrote a list of my sins, the ways I'd lived in God's world without reference to him, living for my own desires. The list was very long. I won't go through it. Some of the entries were summaries, pride times a million, that kind of thing. So I wrote this very long list, remembering these were only the sins I was aware of. Those I wasn't aware of were probably much bigger. And then when I'd finished writing the list, I took a red pen, and over each sin, I wrote the word cancelled. I wonder if you could do the same. How would it make you feel? The way it made me feel. It would fill you with gratitude and joy and wonder that the £1 billion debt of sin had been cancelled, paid in full, through the saving death of Jesus Christ. For that's what happened, isn't it? The debt hasn't just been cancelled, it's been paid for by Jesus. Every debt has to be paid by someone, but Jesus has paid the debt for us. It would cause you to praise and to worship God, the God who is beautifully merciful and compassionate. It would fill you with joy in this loving, compassionate God who's transferred us from hell to heaven. And it would melt your heart so that having received mercy, compassion, forgiveness from God, you'd be willing to offer it to others as well. So in order to forgive, we need first to grasp how much we've been forgiven. And it may be you'd benefit from writing a list like I did. As a forgiven sinner, it's possible, and I'd say helpful, to write a list like that. If we don't know we're forgiven, it's hard, isn't it? Because it just increases our sense of guilt as we look at it. But knowing we're forgiven, we can. And it'll help us grasp how much we've been forgiven. Our £1 billion debt cancelled. Second, we'll forgive others if we grasp how much we've been forgiven. And this follows on. Once we've grasped the size of our debt and how God has cancelled it, has forgiven it, we'll be much better able to forgive the much smaller debt, the £5,000 debt or whatever it is that we're owed. How does that work? Well, we've already said that our hearts are melted. We're filled with gratitude for God's mercy and compassion, and we want to pass that mercy and compassion on. More than that, we see the character of our Heavenly Father. We see that He is a merciful and compassionate God. He's a God who pays the £1 billion debts of His people through bloody self-sacrifice. So we don't have to. And as we appreciate that, and gratefully accept His mercy by faith, so we want to show mercy to others. We want to pay the debt, the much smaller debt of others. For that's what forgiveness is, isn't it? Paying the debt yourself, bearing the pain, bearing the suffering yourself. So do you see, the one leads to the other. If I've received mercy and compassion, I will pass it on to others. If I'm unwilling to, it shows I haven't really received it. And tragically, that's what happened to the servant in the story. And I think Jesus is also giving us a way of continually forgiving others. Because we often forget the depth of our sin, don't we? We often forget how much mercy we've received from God. I need to be reminded regularly. I need to write a list like that. I did one last week, and it was really helpful to be reminded. So if we find in our hearts we're struggling to forgive, we can go back to remembering how much we've been forgiven. Well, what might this look like? A few examples from different areas of life. Marriage. In a marriage, when our spouse does the same thing that annoys us or upsets us again, I should just say in our case, obviously it's me annoying Alice rather than the other way around, should we say something? Well, of course, lovingly and graciously. Get it out in the open. Don't let it fester. Should we forgive? Of course. And if it's the 1,000th time they've done it, forgive. And if on a particular day we struggle with that, go back to what you've been forgiven. The £1 billion debt compared to the daily £10 debt. In a family where there are often deep-rooted, long-standing issues, things that happened when we were children but we still struggle with, relatives we struggle to get on with. It's true, isn't it, that you choose your friends, you don't choose your family. Jesus says, forgive. And if you're struggling, remember the £1 billion debt. Remember how much you've been forgiven. At work or at school, People can be cruel, can't they? Or they can just be annoying, or they can get in the way. Jesus says, forgive. Yes, if there's an issue, confront it, but forgive. And in the church family, we can rub each other up the wrong way sometimes. We're different. Again, if we need to lovingly challenge, as we thought about 2 weeks ago, do so, but forgive. Maybe you're someone looking into the Christian faith, and you're amazed when you hear someone in the news saying, I forgive that person for what they did. And you think, I could never do that. Maybe you'd call yourself a Christian, but there's something that happened to you, and you think, I could never forgive that. Well, today Jesus has a question for you. What haven't you grasped about your debt with God? Do you see yourself having a £1 billion debt because of all the things you've done against God and his people? Or ask yourself, why did Jesus need to die on the cross if not to pay for my debt so it might be cancelled? And then pray to God, show me my debt, show me my sin. We will forgive others if we grasp how much we've been forgiven. Okay, but some of us might be thinking, I realize I need to forgive, but it's a real struggle. I know how much I've been forgiven. I want to forgive, but what they did was so bad. And I've been harboring these thoughts for so long. I don't know if I can. Well, if that's you, don't despair. I wonder if you remember in Mark's gospel the words of the man whose son is demon-possessed, and he brings him to Jesus and he says, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Say to Jesus, I know I need to forgive, but I'm struggling to forgive. Help me. Maybe say over and over, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. And our hearts and minds can change as we do that, can't they? Be encouraged by these words of C.S. Lewis in a letter. Last week, while at prayer, I suddenly discovered, or felt as if I did, that I'd really forgiven someone I'd been trying to forgive for over 30 years, trying and praying that I might. If you long to forgive, God will enable you to in the end. What about if the other person hasn't asked for forgiveness? What then? Well, we need to remember there's a difference between forgiving a person and having your relationship restored. For the relationship to be restored, the other person will need to say sorry. They'll need to ask forgiveness. They'll need to repent, to choose to go the right way in the future in your relationship. So you can't restore the relationship on your own. It takes two to do that. But you can forgive. It's possible to forgive their debt, what they did wrong, or be willing to do so without the relationship being restored and without any action on their part. Now, I'm aware that may raise lots of questions about a particular situation that you found yourself in. And if that is the case, I'd encourage you to talk to someone afterwards, ask them to pray with you, come and chat to me, be happy to talk. And then finally, let's put this in the wider context of what we're seeking to do here at the Allenby Churches. As we forgive wrongs done to us, the community will notice. In Allenby, as everywhere, God is gathering a forgiven people who display the mercy and compassion and love of God through our loving relationships, including forgiveness of each other. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And this is one very powerful way in which we can be salt and light in the community. As we forgive, as we don't hold grudges, as we love and care for each other and those we come into contact with, Allenby will be blessed and Allenby will notice and others will want what we've got. So we need to grasp how much we've been forgiven. We will forgive others if we grasp how much we've been forgiven. There's a couple of things at the bottom of the handout. The exercise that I mentioned I did years ago, encouraging us to do that in our own time, and then praying for the ability to forgive others. Can I suggest we just take a moment in quiet thought and prayer, and then I'll pray, and it'll be the end of our formal time together, and we can carry on over tea and coffee. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the spiritual £1 billion debt that has been cancelled. That as you hung on that cross, you paid that enormous price for us. Please help us to more and more grasp how much we've been forgiven. And so please help us to forgive. And for those who are struggling with this, for whatever reason, for a particular situation that they've been in or are in, I do pray that you would provide them with the help and the support and the encouragement and the counsel that they need now and in the weeks and months to come. And we pray for your blessing on our time together now. And we pray that you would send us out to live and to serve you and to be a blessing to those we come into contact with in the week ahead. Amen. Amen.